Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Wigan X. And now get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Katie, I am a billionaire. Not really. But I'm part of the largest copyright settlement in U.S. history in terms of copyright infringement. And we just got the news that the federal judge approved it. What that does mean is that me and the 487,000 other authors, or some would be less than that because there were multiple books, we will now receive about $3,000 per book. So my three of my 15 books were stolen. So that'll be $9,000. But at the end of the day, Anthropic is valued close to $1 trillion. So I'm not good at math, Katie, but 1.5 billion to get to be a $1 trillion company, I think is pretty good odds.
Yeah, I'd say so. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. Those numbers are so big, but I think these AI companies are just taking it almost like as a slap on the hand. Like, cool, that was worth it. You know, now let's go after the musicians. Now let's go after the filmmakers. I mean, we're kind of seeing this play out. And yeah, there's been some pushback. Spotify is, I just read yesterday that Spotify artists, some of them are boycotting and saying, look, you're going to put all kinds of AI music up here that's fake and, you know, it's stealing streams. We're just going to leave the platform. So you're seeing this, Katie, like all over the place. Certain filmmakers are saying they're using it. Certain filmmakers are boycotting. But what's your take on all this?
Yeah, it's interesting because in the ruling from the judge there, why the fine was due, it wasn't because of the stealing of the data to train the models on, right? The judge said that was a transformation of the original work.
Gosh.
But it was a piracy issue. So I think that's very unique here, this line of reasoning, because if indeed, you know, scraping copywritten works to create training data is a transformation of the copyright itself, I mean, it kind of makes me question then what is really the value of the copyright?
Yeah,
it's kind of I don't know. I think this is something we'll be watching closely because I have a hard time thinking other judges will align with that reasoning. But, you know, it's kind of like what's patentable with AI patents at the patent office. It swings in many directions and everybody's interpretation is different because it's such a new technology. So,
yeah.
It's something to definitely be aware of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it possible that a judge could say one thing and another judge another thing? Or is this like, hey, one's judge. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. If in like, you know, in another federal district, right, a similar case or question of law might arise. And so we might, you know, what's decided in, you know, the Ninth Circuit might be different than the First Circuit. So
that's good.
I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this because this is just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of the first landmark ruling on this kind of question of law. So
yeah.
I think we'll definitely see more and more of these cases and actions pop up.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, it is definitely interesting. I spoke at the Book Thinkers, you and I both attended Nick Hutchinson's event in Boston just a couple weeks ago. And I was shocked. I mean, you were there for 2 days. I was there for one day with a family vacation. But I was shocked at the response of how many people, because of the topic of IP, you know, either wrote, commented, talked to you and Sarah. But it just seems like this is becoming a major issue. And it's funny, I'm not against AI, you're not against AI, but I use AI last night on the plane. So Katie, what I do is like every few years, I update what's called my OPUS. It's like stands for overarching vision, purpose, unifying strategies, and scorecard for significance. My buddy Chet Scott created that model, but it's just like about internal alignment and all this. And anyway, I didn't update it for 3 years. And so I just updated it last night, but I'm using AI to like say, hey, what's changed in my life in 3 years? And so again, it's a thinking partner. But what it's saying is that it said instant IP is coming into its time globally, because this is now on everyone's mind. What do you think? Like when you and I met years ago and I kind of started this concept 5 years ago, it was very small, very irrelevant, you know, kind of niche, but now like AI is becoming the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with that, and even we saw yesterday, right, the OpenAI bot that escaped.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. I was traveling. What happened?
So it came out in the news. OpenAI developed a bot that escaped and was able to hack into a website, and they didn't even know it had hacked it.
Wow.
The target didn't know it had been hacked, and there's basically going to be no fines or damages due.
Wow.
And so this is like the unleashing of the real sort of downside of AI, right? Where it can cause a lot of harm. And so I think that, you know, something like instant IP, where you have that immutable stamp of ownership, right? Nobody can take that away from you. That's once it's there, it's
that's
there
true. AI so can't hack.
Right. AI can't hack that, right? And so I think it's so important now more than ever that protecting things is so vital. And I think too, I am always alarmed when clients send me invention write-ups that they used AI to write with, because they basically now just put their idea into AI. So like, it's, you know, it's a tool, but you have to kind of know how to operate the tool and when to use the tool appropriately here.
That protect before you promote. I know our new book's coming out. Yeah, but it's so true. Like if I'm creating something, like literally, so we just finished the book and there was probably 25 things that were really good IP, you know, like just solid. And so my team was probably like, what are you doing? Because they saw instant IP, like protected, 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 protected. So what I did is before we published this book, I quick ran over to instant IP and literally just protected all these different things. And now that they're protected, I'll even read a few, Katie, how's that? From the new book. So, we call this the IP movement message, where basically how do you create a movement around your IP? There's five steps. They all start with P. You have to define the problem, the people, the predator, or, you know, villain, promise, and path. So again, like we could teach on that now. Oh, you want to turn your IP into movement? What's the problem? Who's the people that are affected? Who's the predator that's at, you know, risk? What's the promise and what's the path? And now we can superscript that, use it, teach it. But again, most authors are just like, oh, throw it in the book. And I did some research, Katie, the other day. Love to talk about this young lady. A lady just sent an email to me. I'm part of her list. But she said, hey, my book's coming out. And what I did, Katie, is I quickly went to the USPTO and I looked at her book title and I looked to see if it was trademarked. And guess what? It's trademarked by somebody else in the book class. And this person is huge. This person is huge, millions of followers. And I quickly emailed her team. You know, one is I want to be helpful, but two, I'm like, yeah, I want business too. I want to help them. And I sent them the trademark and I said, look, this is a different entity. Did you pay this other company in July to file this? And they're like, no, we don't know who this is. And it's Class 41, publication of books. So here's my thoughts. Somebody knew that it was coming because it is out there. And they quickly went and trademarked it before. Is that crazy?
Well, this is happening a lot too with like clients who have websites, right? Or company names that they've never trademarked.
Yeah.
They'll get these notices from
foreign
countries, right? I've trademarked it. If you want the rights to it, you have to pay me X dollars.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a blackmailing, right?
Exactly.
So this is a real problem and that's why too, they've changed the requirements of who can file trademarks at the trademark office. And if there is, you know, in bad will there, they'll shut it down because there's tons of these kind of extortions that are happening.
I got a question for you. I know this is not legal advice, but because her team responds with an AI bot, you know, and the AI bot told me, oh, this isn't ours, you know, and thanks for telling us. And if we're interested, we'll reach back out. But again, I don't know if this AI bot's ever going to tell her. And I just don't know because it literally responded in 30 seconds, you know. Do I dare post, not saying that it's not her trademark, but just saying, I mean, you know me, I'm always into marketing. Do I make a post about how this could be a miss by this person and hope that it kind of like reaches her that way?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you know, calling it out is kind of the only way to get a response, right? Or gain traction.
Yeah.
So,
but if I don't say that, if I don't, you know, like there's whatever it's called, libel or.
Right. You know, slander.
But
yeah.
Slander. But if I just say, hey, here's this person's book coming out, here's a trademark. I quickly responded because I value her to her team. I got an AI response that said they don't own this. And now I'm concerned for her because she's building a big launch and this trademark isn't registered, but it's pending. And she could be building on unprotected land, you know, and just make that a point as a teaching point. And reference that Kelly Roach from LinkedIn who said that she made a mistake years ago by not protecting something and then had to pay tons of money.
Right.
I wonder if that would be a good story.
Yeah, I'd maybe ask her permission to do that.
Yeah, but what if they're not responding, the team? Oh, you mean Kelly or?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe too, I'd look into if you can do a cancellation on the mark.
If that other person could.
Yeah. Because if they've said, if the bot has said this isn't, we haven't protected this, right? Then who did?
Yeah.
Right? And maybe a cancellation would make sense here.
So let's talk about that. Who cancels it?
Anybody can file to cancel it.
Really?
So, yeah.
So they could say, hey, this was done with bad will.
Right.
Like
if you have, especially if you have documented proof of that, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like this. So again, you're not giving legal advice, but I could create a little post on LinkedIn about this, just as a teaching point.
Right. I think there might be some ways to handle this. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, sweet. We'll talk offline. No, I think, I mean, again, if it was me and I didn't know it, I would want to know, because you know my other company name, my previous name, not Instant IP. If somebody would have told me earlier on, like, Kerry, hey, there's this thing in this other country that owns that, you better just watch out. I would have loved it, because you know how much it cost me to rebrand.
Right, right, exactly.
That's not fun. So again, people, and then, oh, let's close the loop with this. Then after Nick's event, I went over to Tom Wheelwright's event in Utah. And he, of course, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, CPA. He's, I like him, Tom. He's the most anti-CPA stereotype, you know? And I even use that as a joke, because I think he kind of attracts the wild CPAs too. And they're all in the room literally saying, how can we legally save our clients money so they don't overpay in taxes? And then one of the speakers was the former IRS commissioner, Danny, wow. Danny something. So it was very interesting. I learned a ton, but again, they had me talk about IP. I talked about our book, and CPAs were coming up to me left and right saying, I had no clue about IP and how it's the hidden asset class. So Katie, maybe talk about that, because I hear it all the time. People say, crud, I exited my business a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and I didn't even think about the IP. And now I know I sold it way under. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that happens all the time. So I'd say a lot of times people think, and this happens, like I just had this conversation yesterday yeah. with somebody, that, you know, they said, oh, like, I don't think I have anything protectable here. I do this all day long, right? And I haven't created anything new.
Right.
And so that is, you know, a common misconception, because a lot of times, you know, in order to protect something, get a patent on it, right, you need to have something that, you know, it's sort of those way, yes, other companies might be doing the same thing, but they're probably right. doing it in a different manner,
right?
Or using a different set of steps or methodologies. So a lot of times it's kind of focusing the IP on those little things that might seem trivial, but yeah. really that add a lot of value to it. And that's where, you know, knowing that you want to exit and have a plan for exit in X years, how, you know, communicating that to your IP attorney can help figure out, okay, if you want to exit in 2 years, what do we want to, you know, then that's kind of a short window to get some patents through to an allowance quickly.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So in that instance, you know, doing some filings on the track one expedited program to get some through to an allowance in about 12 to 18 months might make sense, because having for an exit, having issued patents, it's going to, you know, help drive up your valuation more so than just having patents pending undergoing prosecution. And having patents that maybe competitively build into a competitor's portfolio, maybe they offer a new product line that the competitor doesn't offer. Maybe they enhance the competitor's existing product line, or maybe they create liability for the competitor, the acquirer, by creating infringement opportunities, right?
Wow.
But if you do that, that's going to really drive up the value for exit, because either they're going to pay to acquire you, or they're going to pay for a patent infringement suit.
Wow.
So kind of getting your objectives clear, your timeline clear, can then help create a strategy to drive up valuation for
subsidies. Well, I like that. I like that. That's cool. So strategy definitely applies based upon what your goal is with your company.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not just exit, right? There's a lot of different ways patents can add value to your business.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a licensing play, right? Yep. Maybe you want to be able to create passive revenue streams off your patent. That right. might be a different strategy. Maybe it's, I want to create joint IP with this other company, but I want to make sure my existing IP is totally locked down before we enter into some kind of agreement where we will share ownership, right?
That's
so
cool.
It's just kind of really figuring out what you're looking to do, because, you know, there's no sense in filing patents just to file patents, right?
Right.
Like it just, the times clients do that because they just think I just need to patent it. It never works out well because then they just have this piece of paper from the government that kind of collects dust because they're not doing anything with it.
Right.
They don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So that's where kind of getting clear on that from the beginning is so important.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we did and are doing with Instant IP. I mean, we had a purpose immediately to say, look, we're going to launch this app in a big way, but we want to have a fence around it because, you know, sometimes the simplest things can be copied.
Yes.
And so, you know, you have to get that legal monopoly with a patent, which makes a ton of sense. So, Katie, I think this was a great episode. I feel like we gave some updates about the Anthropic case. We talked about how authors need to protect before they promote. And really, that's immediately, like the moment you have the idea, protect it. We talked about how using AI as your thinking partner, but not protecting it, is creating a liability, just because we know the AI companies, because of the AI model collapse, are absolutely seeking out human IP to train on. And I'm a big conspiracy guy saying, like, even if their terms and conditions say we don't train or you can turn it on or off, it's like, come on, man. If you know your company is going to be worth more money if you turn on training, like, you're just, I mean, they've proven themselves.
Right. Well, I mean, this isn't legal advice, but even, you know, depending on the model you're using, even if you have a license to it and it doesn't train, you have to still check the terms and conditions of what they're doing with your data, because even if they're not training with it, there's some ones out there, I won't get into this totally, but they can still share your confidential information with third parties. So, sure, they might not be feeding it into training, but they're going to share it with third parties. So how confident can you feel about confidential data you're putting into it, right?
So absolutely.
That's why, you know, again, it's a tool, but would I be dropping, you know, things I haven't protected into it? Definitely not.
Yeah.
That's just
When I'm creating, I have Instant IP open and I'm like, that was awesome. Protect. You know, just because I know, like the quote says in our book, your IP is either protected or it's training somebody else's AI model.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Well, Katie, thanks so much. And I look forward to our new book coming out. Official launch date, September 24th. We may be able to leak some copies out to some people in advance, but thanks for all you're doing. And it was great seeing you in Boston.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to the You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Brought to you by Instant IP and WiganX. Visit Instant IP today and WiganX.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.